How did we get here? What happened with Lee newspapers that this decision was made to change how they cover state coverage and basically let you and Mike go?
Well, the editor of the Billings Gazette had emailed us and said he wanted to meet with us about State Bureau plans on Tuesday morning, and we thought that was going to be another meeting about what story ideas we had to cover and what ones he had. And when he walked in with the human resources manager, we're like, uh-oh. And essentially what he said is that the revenue picture with the Lee papers in Montana no longer supported having a bureau like we'd had here, and that they were going to have to shutter it on May 29th. So they said they were creating two new state reporting jobs that could be based anywhere, and a lot of it would be traveling around the state to talk to the governed instead of talking to the governing, and to pursue issue coverage and travel quite a bit. And they offered those jobs to Mike and to me at a pretty substantial pay cut, and we both declined those jobs and were offered buyouts. And I'll be 67 in June, and so it seemed like a good time to retire for me. Mike is 58, and you know, he's going to be looking for a job. So between us, I think I had more than 40 years experience. I think Mike has more than 30, maybe 35. So I covered the 1972 Constitutional Convention for AP, which was a real thrill to watch a constitution be drafted and then ultimately passed. And I worked for the Missoulian, the Lee Bureau back in the 70s, then the Great Falls Tribune Bureau here for 15 years, and came back to Lee in 93. So I've had a good run here, and I've enjoyed it a lot. It's been covering a lot of different issues, lots of governors, lots of senators and representatives at the state level, and, you know, a fair number at the national level too. So I've had a good run, and I've enjoyed the job immensely.
When people talk about you and your record in Helena, one thing I hear is not just a lot of reporting and a lot of coverage, but also mentoring for young reporters who come into the state capitol. How did you find yourself in that role?
Well, I was for many years the senior reporter at the capitol, and you know, someone would come in with a question like, how does this thing work with the budget, or how do you do this, and I just was always happy to help, because older, more senior reporters had done that for me. And I've always found that the Montana Capitol Press Corps is very competitive. We all want to get the story first, but we're all friends off the job. And, you know, a lot of times some of the broadcast reporters are here and then they're gone and a new one takes their place. And I guess I always felt like, why not help them? And you know, they've helped me at times play back important footage that when I didn't have a tape recorder. And so I don't know, it's just kind of something I kind of developed into. And I've had young reporters that worked with me, new reporters, and kind of know what kind of information they need to know, and I'm just always happy to help people.
You've seen a lot of change in the Montana Capitol in 40 years. Tell me about some of the things that are different now than they were in 1972.
When I started reporting here, nearly every state elected official worked out of the Capitol. The Supreme Court was in the Capitol. The Attorney General was where the and his staff were down where the Lieutenant Governor is, and some of the Governor's staff. The Secretary of State is where the Auditor's Office used to be. And I was joking to someone, you couldn't walk to go to the restroom without running into a couple of elected officials. And so that was a big switch. State government grew quite a bit in the 70s, and now we have different offices on campus, or in some cases like the Auditor's Office off campus for the elected officials. The up until 2000, well, really 92 is when it passed. We didn't used to have term limits, so you would see legislators, some of them would stay over 30 years, and there was definitely a sense that you had, they developed a lot more expertise than the ones who now come and go in 8 years, and you developed a lot of people that really had specialized knowledge in water law or budgets or school funding.
Is politics also more rancorous than it was in the 70s and 80s?
You know, it was plenty rancorous in those days. I remember covering the 1976 governor's campaign, and the Republican candidates' people went through the garbage of the Democratic candidates to see if they could find any incriminating documents. So the next day, the Democratic governor's team, Tom Judge was the Democratic governor running for re-election, they called us all over to a press conference and delivered the garbage for that day to the Republican candidate. So it was plenty rancorous in those days, too. Smoking was prevalent in the legislature, and so, you know, it was a lot of gray smoke in the air, and the state had to spend a lot of money cleaning up the Russell mural in the House. You know, one of the big changes, Steve, is the cameras in all the hearing rooms. So that allows legislative hearings to be watched all over the state or anywhere, really. And I'm always surprised how many people do. So they go to community access stations, or people can just watch them or watch archived versions of them on the internet. And I think it allows the citizens to become more involved. But the whole internet is probably the biggest change for as far as I can see. I mean, back in the day when I started, we actually sent our stories out by a teletype machine, if anyone knows what that is. And you know, when we got a fax machine, that was a pretty big deal. And then came email and the internet. So that's probably been the biggest change, and the ability to read every legislative bill online rather than have to get printed copies. That's been a big change.
Do you think the internet is also partly to blame for all the retrenchment in the newspaper industry in recent years, and maybe even the shutdown of your own bureau?
I don't know about the bureau, but it's definitely hurt revenues from newspapers. When Craigslist came along, that really hurt classified advertising in newspapers, because Craigslist is free. You know, when the internet came along, newspapers already had the content, but they gave it away for free. And a lot of people got used to just reading it for free and dropping their subscriptions. So that has definitely hurt. A lot of newspapers here and elsewhere now will give you so many free views a month, and then you have to pay. But newspaper circulation, I think, is probably not as high as it used to be, at least in some cases. The internet gives people a lot more opportunity to find multiple news sources. You know, we didn't have political blogs in those days, or Twitter or Facebook. So people can find out a lot on those, too. I hope there'll always be a room, a spot for newspapers, because, you know, we are able to cover things and maybe a little more depth sometimes, and look into an issue or a candidate for office more than maybe a broadcast reporter can, or maybe that you can on social media. So,
would you still encourage someone who wanted to be a journalist to go into the field, even with all the changes and the turmoil?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of opportunities, and the younger people just out of school are much more adept naturally, I think, with social media and smartphones and you know, Twitter and Facebook, because they've been using it since when they got the first smartphones or their first computers. So I think there are opportunities. It's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Are there any particularly memorable characters from Montana politics that have made an impression on you?
I covered Mike Mansfield some, and he was the Senate Majority Leader longer than anyone in U.S. history. And he was a yep, nope. So when you interviewed Mike, you had to have a lot of questions, because he would go through them pretty fast, and he didn't like to elaborate. probably my favorite state legislator was a guy named Francis Bardenov. And the legislative wing of the Capitol was named after Francis. And I believe he was in the legislature 36 years. He was from Harlem. He grew up on a ranch during the Depression. He wasn't able to attend college. He had a cleft palate and had surgery eventually for that. And the speech therapist, he was a bachelor, and later in life he had that taken care of with surgery. He later married his speech therapist. It was a great romance. And Francis was, for many years, the chair of the House Appropriations Committee. And he was a legend up here. He was he would come up here about 4 in the morning and hang out at the Fiscal Division office. And he'd monitor all the legislative appropriations subcommittees. And I remember one time I was writing for the Tribune, and the State School for the Deaf and Blind, which is in Great Falls, was asking for a new snowplow, and he was nodding off and jerked up, and what happened to the one we gave you 3 years ago? I mean, he just had an elephant's memory and was a fun person to cover, but it'd been a lot of good people. You know, it's been a fun job, and I'll miss it a lot.
From what you said, I imagine you weren't planning on retiring right away. Do you have any idea what you're going to do once this gig is over?
Well, I'll be 67 next month. I had actually been thinking about retiring in the fall, but I hadn't really thought about what all I want to do. But so I'll be happy in retirement, but I'll miss this job. It was a lot of fun. I don't know. Maybe I'll do some writing projects. Maybe I'll travel. I haven't really figured that out, Steve.
There isn't a book in you?
Well, there may be. I don't know if I don't know if I feel like sitting down and writing right away. I've written a lot of words over the years, and perhaps that'll be the case. I was talking to one friend who reminded me that I'd given him the advice years ago when I read an article somewhere that said, when you retire, don't do anything for the first year. Just enjoy it and then figure out what you want to do. So maybe that's what I'll do.